The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
If you want to see the promises of God come to pass in your own life, you're going to have to persevere in faith.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, you're going to be encouraged today. You're going to be challenged today. You're going to be stretched today. Your faith is going to be built today. As we talk about taking hold of the promises of God in our lives. Number to call if you want to weigh in on any subject or ask me a particular question that relates to today's topic, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, my joy to be with you as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Friends, every day it's our goal to infuse you with faith and truth and courage so you can stand strong. And what I want to lay out plainly, and what it's so important to hear, is that the big promises, the major promises, the large promises will take time. I once heard it said, the greater God's promises for your life, the longer they will take to be fulfilled. And one of the unexpected blessings of living for many years, of getting older, is that you see many more prayers answered, because some prayers are prayed for decades before you see them answered. And some things that God has promised us, just by the very nature of the promise, will take many years to be fulfilled. I mean, let's just say you're a 10-year-old kid and you get this prophecy over you that one day you're going to be the president of the United States, right? And God has been speaking that very thing to you. You're stunned. How can that be? Well, even if it's true, it's going to take decades to come to pass. You can't be the president regardless of your qualifications till you reach a certain age. Let's say you're a 12-year-old young lady, and God shows you, you just see it in an internal vision in your mind's eye. You see yourself with a giant family. You see yourself with lots of kids, and then you see those kids going out as medical missionaries and as lawyers standing for righteousness and as homeschooling moms and as missionary pioneers, and you see what's going to happen to your kids. Well, for that to take place and unfold, it is going to take decades and decades and decades, because you have to become old enough to be married and have children, then you have to have the children and raise the children, then the children have to go out. So the very nature of it will take decades. And often, in the area where you have the biggest promises, you will be tested the most. You will question whether you really heard God. You will wonder whether these things are really true. I'm here to encourage you, as someone who is thrilled to see the promises of God that he has given me over the decades coming to pass even as I speak to you, things that he has had me in prayer for, crying out to God for many years. He's now opening up now. I mean, we are right in the midst of a massive national radio expansion, which couples with a promise that God has given me about being on the front lines of a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I'm 68, and I feel like everything up to now has just been preparation for the race, and I'm ready to dive in like never before. Let me give you some scripture first, just to show you how common this theme is. Of course, we can look through the whole Old Testament, and we can see how, starting with Abraham, God gives him the promise of what's going to happen through his seed, how the whole world will be blessed through his seed. He's 75 years old when he gets the promise. His wife Sarah is barren, right? They can't have children between them. And now the promise does not come to pass until he's 100 and Sarah's 90. It was impossible when God spoke it, but then it was 25 more years of impossibility and stretching before it came to pass, that the only thing Abraham could put his hope was in God. And many times that's why the promises take time, because we have to die to self-confidence. We have to die to our way, and we can make it happen. And now we get to the point of complete dependence on God. Let me read a number of scriptures to you from the New Testament. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that we should not be weary in well-doing, because we will reap the harvest, right? We will indeed reap the harvest, but what does he say? At the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. You sow the seed, and you don't see anything. Let's say you didn't understand how the process worked with agriculture, right? And you're just told to throw the seeds in the ground and water them. It's like, but nothing's happening. I've been waiting months, and nothing's happening. And now it's gotten really, really, the weather's changed, and the seasons have changed, and everything's happening. It's just under the ground. You can't see it. And the seed dies first. How often does that happen with our own vision? The seed dies first. And then out of that, that's how life comes. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, Jesus says. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. John 12:24. Often that vision within us, that dream within us, dies before it's resurrected. When it's resurrected, our hope is totally in God. Look at what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well. These may have been prophecies spoken over him when hands were laid on him and he was ordained into ministry. There may have been other prophecies he carried over the course of his life. But look at that word. By recalling them, you can fight the good fight. Going back to what God spoke, right, it seems to be the opposite. Everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. It seems counterintuitive to believe it, but he spoke it. Therefore, I'm going to believe it. It's like a word about a child being healed. And you know that God spoke at you, and each year the child gets sicker and sicker, and it seems less and less possible. Go back to those prophecies. Go back to those words. Go back to those promises, and it helps you to fight. It helps you to contend. God has been stirring my heart about promises he made to me 25 years ago. And recently I received a text from a prophetic brother, the first time he's ever texted me. Only met him face to face recently, but he is a seasoned man of God, decades and decades of experience in prayer and hearing the voice of God and receiving prophetic dreams. And he sends me a note that he had a dream. And in the dream, God was showing him how, as I've persevered and believed for these 25 years, that promises God gave me 25 years ago that I've contended for the last 25 years are now coming to pass. That's exactly what's happening. Exactly what's happening. But often when you feel discouraged, when you wonder, can it be true? Oh, it's not possible. It's too late. We all go through that. I didn't pray enough. I'm not worthy. I blew it. And you go back to the promises, and the promises are still there, and your heart is still stirred. So even though it's counterintuitive, even though it may feel too late, you cry out to God. We take hold of the promises. It's how we pray. It's one way that we pray. It's how we do spiritual warfare, by declaring, Lord, what you said, I believe it. It is true. I declare it. I speak it. Let's look at a couple other verses. Hebrews chapter 6. In fact, this was the passage that this brother got in the dream that he saw. Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 11. It says this: we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised, through faith and patience, through faith and perseverance. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, going to verse 20, Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So here, Abraham receives the promises, but now he has to hold on to them through faith and perseverance, through faith and patience, holding on, saying, I believe you. I believe even though my body is dead. I believe even though my wife's body is dead in terms of having children. I believe even though my mind says it's too late. I believe even though circumstances seem to have changed. I believe because you have spoken it. You say, well, what if we're deceived? Well, throw out the Bible then. You know what I'm saying? If I don't mean each individual promise. I can guarantee you each thing that we think God's promised, I can guarantee you is real. I don't know what God spoke to you or didn't speak to you. But I can tell you this, if he spoke it to you, it's as good as God is. It's as reliable as God is. It's as faithful and true as God is. And the bottom line is either Jesus rose from the dead or he didn't. Either God sits and rules and reigns in heaven or he doesn't. Either the Bible is true or it isn't, talking about in our own lives, in our own walks with God. And when God has repeatedly spoken the same thing to me over a period of years, I can only conclude this is really the Lord. I know my walk with him. I know the track record. And what I've really questioned, Lord, is it really going to happen? He's just challenged me back. Where's your faith? When I said, Lord, I don't want to be deceived, he's reminded me, have I not done the other things I promised? One more scripture for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, and this especially is in light of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes it may feel like it's in vain. Sometimes it may feel futile. But Paul's saying, no, ultimately it's not. And just as Jesus rose, we will rise and our reward will be forever. The bottom of the hour, I want to speak with a Christian attorney about what's happening in America with abortion and the abortion pill. But here too is a reminder. People fasted and prayed and sought God for many, many years. In fact, Greg, I want to get your call about fasting on the other side of the break. People sought God when all hope seemed lost, when it was inevitable that Roe v. Wade is now the law of the land and it will never be overturned and the pro-life movement is dead. It's over. We've seen Roe v. Wade overturned within the last year, and who knows what could be coming next in state after state enacting pro-life laws that have never existed before since Roe v. Wade, because Roe v. Wade would shoot them all down. Change takes time, but it does come. So take hold of those promises again, friends. Brush off those old dusty journals. Go back to God and say, God, you promised. He loves when we do that. We'll be right back.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalay, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's the number, 866-34-TRUTH. I received this handwritten note after I preached in Danville, California, a week ago Sunday. And the woman who gave me the note, 67 years old, said this: thanks so much for a very clear explanation. I was talking about Psalm 105 and how the very promises to Joseph while he was in prison in Egypt, the promises God had given him, tested him. What about all those promises, Joseph? You're going to die as a prisoner in Egypt. The very promises from God tested him until the word came to pass. She said, I so appreciate your transparency with regard to all the different thoughts of doubt, etc. I relate. I was afraid of disappointment, but not now. Fresh hope has been released and my faith reinforced. That's my goal, friends, to say we'll go through those seasons of doubt, to say yes, we'll go through those times where it seems impossible. Yes, we'll wonder, did we really hear God or not? But what we have to do ultimately is say, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. God, you are faithful. You keep your word. You bring your promises to pass, and then you spiritually contend for them. Say, what does it mean to contend for them? You bring them back to God. You confess them before the Lord, especially scriptural promises. You confess them before the Lord, or things you know, a prophecy that absolutely confirms something that God had previously spoken to you. Lord, you promised. You remind yourself. You set yourself in faith to say, Lord, I'm going to trust what you have spoken because you are faithful and you do not lie. And then when it's appropriate, when it's right, you share it with others. You speak it to others to say, God promised this. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. And friends, I say to each of you listening, God's promised me back in the late 1990s that I would be on the front lines of a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution here in America. Obviously, I've been on the front lines of the culture wars all these years, but the tide is turning. As much as so much is going wrong in our society and so much is falling apart in our society, there is a pushing back. And the first waves of a fresh revival movement have already begun to come. And many are being refreshed and many are being renewed and many churches encountering God and many young people being touched. As bad as stuff is, and I don't minimize the bad for a split second, it is brutally bad around the nation in so many ways and in other nations. God is moving. And shifts are coming, and there is a pushback taking place. Be encouraged. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Greg in Cary, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I've heard a lot of different takes on why fasting, what it accomplishes, or what the reason of fasting. I just wanted to get your take on it because I trust your knowledge and ability stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And the reason I wanted to take your call now is often that is one of the most important things we can do in crying out to God for breakthroughs. Many times the breakthrough doesn't come without prayer and fasting. So we see many examples of fasting in Scripture in desperate times or when there's a time of separation, etc. So why is fasting so powerful? On the one hand, It is the ultimate expression of our faith and our desire. In other words, we can't fast oxygen. We're going to stop breathing. You can only fast water for so long. But we can go a protracted period of time and say, okay, I am not going to eat. I'm going to separate myself from everything else and say to God, you have to come through. You have to break through. So it is me saying no to the most fundamental desires of the flesh to say, God, I'm that serious. And while you're fasting, you're normally conscious of the fact you're fasting. So in the midst of work and family, there's this realization, there's like a prayer going up from your life the whole time, God, answer this, answer this. Secondly, it's not only an expression of faith and deep spiritual desire, it is also a means of separation. It is the most fundamental way that we can deny ourselves and take up the cross, even by dying to our daily appetites and food desires. And in that sense, we are now consecrating our prayers to God in a deeper way. Many people really experience God while they fast in a deeper way. For me, I experience God much more deeply after I fast. But that whole fast is a marked time, whether it's a day or 5 days or a month, whatever it is. It's a marked time of saying, God, I am absolutely consecrating my heart, my life to you, asking you to answer this prayer. So it's not something that we earn by fasting, right? By starving ourselves, we earn brownie points with God. Rather, it's a deep expression of faith, and it's the ultimate separation, consecration, denial of the flesh. And then those that are able to join that with extended periods of prayer, or just say, okay, instead of going out to eat lunch, I'm just going to take that time and be in prayer or seeking the Lord. Or I'm just going to shut myself in a room for a few days and give myself nothing except water to drink and spend hour after hour with prayer. There's nothing more we can do. It's like the final pushing of the last button to say, oh God, answer. I'm desperate. And many of the greatest breakthroughs I've seen in my own life, including God really working in me to bring me to a deeper place of repentance and holiness, have come through seasons of prayer and fasting.
Well, Dr. Brown, can I just ask something else to follow up as far as to this question?
Sure.
I was taught a while ago that fasting, and you seem to touch on that when you with one of your points that you brought up, but I just wanted to kind of take it a little bit further, see if I'm correct or incorrect, that fasting helps you get a better control over your flesh, where you're more into spirit, in the spirit, instead of being in the flesh too, where you're controlling flesh.
For sure. And I'm sorry I didn't say that up front. I was tying it in so much with the subject of prayer in general. But yes, it is a way for you to break bodily addictions. Often when you fast, you find out how addicted you are to other foods. You get all these headaches and you feel lousy, and it's because toxins are leaving your body. So just in general, aside from there being many health benefits to fasting, and it helps your body to heal and recover in many ways, but absolutely, when you fast, there is a killing of the flesh. There is a breaking of the control of the flesh, and there is.
Have you noticed that there's not a very strong emphasis? Is it just my imagination? It just doesn't seem like there's as strong an emphasis as it was a number of years ago of fasting as it was then.
Depends on this. I'm in certain circles where fasting is always emphasized. It's a major thing. Prayer leaders, and they're constantly calling for fasts and things like that. But more broadly, Greg, in terms of the church culture of America, I would say you're absolutely right. Fasting is not emphasized as much. And I think part of it is our appetites have become so carnal and our diet has become so unhealthy that has contributed to not teaching on it as much. We're more in the flesh in that regard. Many other countries, fasting for the Christians is just a normal way of life. It's a weekly discipline, or extended fasting is normal. almost every major church that I'm working with that's in the midst of a powerful move of the Spirit calls for prayer and fasting to start every year, or frequently calls for times of fasting. So it remains essential, foundational, and yes, underemphasized. A friend of mine many years ago had a brother visiting from Ghana, and he was visiting church service after church service and pastor's meetings and fellowship meetings. And he said to my friend in the States, he said, "No wonder you see so little happening in America." He said, "All you do is feast. In Ghana, all we do is fast." So it is something that we need to take hold of again. Hey, I appreciate the call. I'll take some calls after the next segment, 866-348-7884. But first, I want to have an important conversation with a Christian attorney about the abortion pill and where things stand with the Supreme Court. So don't go anywhere. We'll be taking that up right after the break. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, "Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed." We hear from pastors who say, "Thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage." And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, a Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, "I'd like to become a torchbearer," or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, just think of what will happen in major city after major city of America as The Line of Fire is now accessible to tens of millions of new listeners. Yeah, just flip on the radio wherever they are in some of the biggest cities in America. And we get to bring this message of hope, encouragement, truth without compromise, without backing down, without sugarcoating, speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. Think of the encouragement that will bring. Think of the hope that will bring. Think of the stiffening of the spines. Billy Graham said, "When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." So this is our opportunity to do it. Doors are opening as we speak. In fact, we're just praying right now about stepping through some of these doors to reach many, many more people. But you go to a new station, it does take some time before that station supports itself. So if you've been blessed, you can help us bless others. If you've been encouraged, you can help us encourage others. If your backbone has been stiffened, through our words and our testimony, you can help us stiffen the backbones of others, and there can be a ripple effect across the nation. So to join our support team, to become a torchbearer, call 800-538-5275, 800-538-5275. And we are making a difference by God's grace. Lives are being changed. We're seeing promises that God's given us many, many years ago. We're seeing them unfold. We are seeing them come to pass by His grace. And we know we are just at the beginning. All right. For some reason, we are unable to get Alan Parker on the phone. So, Truth, don't worry. We reached out, had it set up. And for some reason, he is not able to join us. But let me say this, and then we'll go back to some of your calls, and I want to continue to encourage you and continue to challenge you. My goal is not just to be some smiling life coach that says, hey, come on, everybody smile, we can do it, let's have a positive attitude. No, that's not going to get you through hell on earth. No, it's got to be based on God's truth. It's got to be based on relationship with God. It's not just positive thinking, it's faith in the God who has made promises. I'm not here to just be some pep talk life coach guy. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Push a little harder. Come on, smile your way through the day. No, I'm here to say it's really bad out there. There's a lot of junk going on. Things are really in free fall. But God. And the gospel has not lost its power. The gospel remains the power of God to save. The gospel remains the power of God to transform. The gospel remains God's answer. You say, oh, that's a different generation. It's the same human beings, the same human nature, the same devil, the same world, the same flesh, the same sin, the same cross, the same blood, the same Savior, the same gospel. The same gospel that saves and transforms. Gen Z kids getting right with God are getting right with God through the same gospel that their great-grandparents did. And a tribal person in India getting right with God, can't read or write, is getting right with God through the same gospel that the most learned Harvard professor got right with God through. Same God, same gospel, same salvation, same blood, same atonement, same forgiveness, same reconciliation. The blood has not lost its power. The word remains eternally true. When the objections of atheists are long forgotten, when the skepticism of critical scholars is long forgotten, the word of God will stand firm, will stand true. Think again of the issue of abortion. I was not conscious of the sin of abortion, the social issue of abortion when I first got saved. It was nothing that we talked about before we were saved. I remember one girl in high school gotten pregnant, but she had the baby and gave the baby up for adoption. We just didn't talk about abortion a lot. My circles, maybe if I lived somewhere else, a different setting, it may have been a subject, but it wasn't. The church in which I got saved really didn't talk about cultural issues at all. I don't remember really hearing much about Roe v. Wade, honestly. I was saved a couple of years at that point and do not remember hearing about it or hearing our church talk about it. It just was not an area of consciousness in our midst. But those that have been in the pro-life movement for decades will tell you how splintered the pro-life movement was at that point, will tell you how difficult things seemed, will tell you how impossible the battle seemed, much more difficult than many of the battles we're in now. Hopeless. And then with Roe v. Wade reinforced in the 80s with another even more horrific decision by the courts because that reinforced Roe v. Wade, it seemed to be over. And here we are with more pro-life momentum than I've ever seen. Actually, we do have Alan Parker on the phone now. He's the president of the Justice Foundation, a former law professor as well. And we get to talk about the abortion pill. So, Alan, thank you for joining us. Glad you could make it.
Thank you very much for having me on your program. It's great.
Sure thing. So let's just focus, as we've talked so much about recent Supreme Court decisions. Now the court seems to have kind of punted down the line a little bit, the legality of the abortion pill. Can you first tell us just about the pill itself and why this should be such an issue to us, and then how we should posture ourselves, what's coming next with the Supreme Court. But first, the pill, and then what's happening in the courts.
Well, great. Thank you for asking that question. And let me say that I represent thousands of women injured by abortion. So what I'm about to tell you comes from those women. Our project is called Operation Outcry, and it's the largest body in the world of direct sworn evidence of what abortion actually does to women in reality, not rhetoric. So what is different about the abortion pill than, say, a surgical abortion, which is not at issue in this case. Women could still get surgical abortions, but what happens in the surgical abortion is two terribly different things. One, the woman becomes the abortionist. Instead of going to a doctor, she is the administrator of the pills to herself. So then what happens is that she delivers the child at home in her own bed or her own bedroom or her couch or her toilet. And I'm going to get very graphic because that's what the women see. I can never forget the first woman who called me, almost sobbing, almost screaming, "My God, this is a baby. They lied to me. This is a baby. They told me it was a mass of tissue, and I'm seeing it in my hand." Mm. And it already has hands and feet. Our women testify about that. It's deeply traumatizing, and her place of safety, her home, becomes a place of trauma for PTS type D injuries and flashbacks and things like that in the future.
Mm. And what about just the general safety of the abortion pill as far as the woman herself, aside from the trauma of what you just described, which is, I can't even imagine what that would feel like. What about other injuries that this can cause just to the woman herself?
Well, the doctors who brought the suit, who are emergency room doctors, why is that? Because the pill and the abortion say, once you take the pill, you're not our problem. Once you start, quote, torrential bleeding, in the words of one of the doctors in the emergency room, you just go to the abortion. The abortion pill distributors tell them, don't even tell them you've had an abortion. Just tell them it's a miscarriage. So they're lying, and the doctors are saying, we're seeing women who need blood transfusions, IVs, hospitalizations, and by the own FDA's own estimates, they say 5 million women have done this safely. That means 100,000 to 350,000 women have had emergency room visits required because of this supposedly safe procedure. And just in the last year, two women have died, and women have died because of this, particularly if you have an ectopic pregnancy and you don't have it viewed by a doctor, then you may not take care of the pregnancy and that your tubes can rupture and that can result in death. The other things that can happen to a woman, some women don't use it in the early stages when they're supposed to use it. Babies as late as 26 weeks or 30 weeks have been delivered. You're delivering a full-size baby at your home that can cause all sorts of problems for the woman. There has been death and 100,000 to 350,000 emergency room visits at the least because of this medical abortion pill.
Mm. Devastating. Friends, OperationOutcry.org. OperationOutcry.org, or to find out about Alan Parker's organization, thejusticefoundation.org. So,
and
Alan,
if I may just say this.
Yeah, please.
If women are hearing this and it's triggering emotions about their abortion, on that Operation Outcry website, there are free abortion recovery resources throughout the nation that are available to women. You don't have to suffer in silence. And if you've been hurt, you can tell us your testimony there, and we'll protect your identity, and we'll give it to courts and legislatures that are considering banning or restricting abortion in some way.
Yeah, and thank you so much for bringing that up. It's so critically important that we do, because wounds are open and women are hurting, and we want to minister grace. So OperationOutcry.org, you'll find help for yourself as well. We've got a couple minutes before the break, but the Supreme Court basically punted things down the line, maybe waiting for other cases to come forward and say, okay, this pill can be distributed right now. Can you tell us in 2 minutes if you have hope that the court will rule rightly if a case finally comes to it, or are you terribly disappointed by where things stand now?
No, I'm not disappointed. This is really just a preliminary preserve the status quo until a more reasoned and timely decision can be made. And that's already scheduled for May 17th at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans on May 17th at 1 o'clock. So that briefing is going on now. The Justice Foundation is going to represent thousands of women hurt by abortion. And Melinda Thibault, the founder of the Moral Outcry petition, which asked the court originally to reverse Roe v. Wade, now it's for every state and the federal government to ban abortion because abortion hurts women, it kills a human being, and every state has a safe haven law. And this is another argument that the Fifth Circuit and others will consider, and that Amy Coney Barrett asked about in Dobbs. Doesn't the safe haven law eliminate the burden of parenting? Why do women get abortions? It's not that they want to kill a child, and they're afraid, and they don't know what to do, and say, I can't take care of the baby. In all 50 states, even if there were no abortion pill or no surgical abortion, you can relinquish your child at a fire station or hospital or other designated safe space within the designated period of time, usually 30, 60, or 90 days, at no cost. It's free. So give the baby to the state, and you don't have to kill the baby and injure yourself with devastating psychological problems. It's the just and humane for us to move past abortion like we did slavery and segregation that were once condoned by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and from there, parents who want to adopt will now have the opportunity to do that. Alan, thanks for giving us your time. We'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for the work that you do for women and for babies. We appreciate it.
Love to be with you again. Thank you for telling the truth.
All right. OperationOutcry.org. Go there, friends. This is important. This is life and death.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s. And by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, these are the life and death issues we'll continue to talk about. But again, bringing together grace and truth. reaching out to those who've been hurt by abortion, reaching out to those who are wounded to this moment by abortion, and saying there is hope for you, there is forgiveness, there is restoration, and helping build a culture of life that esteems life beginning in the womb. You say, yeah, well, pro-life states, they're really weak in other areas of children's care. Oh, let's do better then. Let's do better. Being pro-abortion doesn't help fix that. Rather, let's improve where we need to improve to be more holistic in our care for the unborn, children, adults, etc. Hey, you just heard Dr. Paul Burnett talking about nitric oxide, which I have been using regularly from Trivetus since, when did we start? I guess late November, with great tangible results. I'm just looking at an email from a colleague who sent me a note. He does a lot of weightlifting and saw an amazing change in his own energy and strength. He's strong already, but was shocked. Things he hadn't been able to do since he was in his 20s, and he's about 50 now. And he just shot me a note. Also, I've lost over 10 pounds and have been able to keep my strength in the gym, which is amazing. Every time I lean out, I always lose strength and muscle mass, but the supplements have helped prevent that. So nitric oxide and MyoHealth, check those out. This broadcast is brought to you with your help, help of you, our listeners who stand with us as our monthly supporters, and our co-sponsor, Trivita. So number to call, 800-771-5584. And again, the supplements we recommend, nitric oxide, among others, and MyoHealth. Those two together, I think you'll see some really good wellness results. We want to see you healthy in spirit, soul, body. Starting with healthy diet, starting with healthy relationship with God above all. But these will help too. So Trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25 or 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. And remember, 100% of your first order goes to support the Line of Fire broadcast so we can get into more and more cities across the nation. So you'll benefit and you'll bless many around the country, and then more than a tithe of all subsequent orders as well. So thanks for standing with us, and I hope you think it's a good use of time to take a couple of minutes to help build our support so that we can get to more and more cities around America and reach millions and millions more. We are launching Dallas-Fort Worth May 1st. Just within a six-week period, we will have increased our potential listenership by, well, about 12, 13 million with the cities we just launched on. Yeah. I'm just talking about a good, strong signal. You flip on your car and listen to it. Everyone, listen to us, KPXQ in Phoenix, our new city, and about to launch in some cities in California. DFW, we've got some other doors open. So this is how we do it together. And I'm encouraged because God is backing his promises to us even now. All right, so getting back to the promises, let's go over to Bob in Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much. As soon as I heard this was relating to the promises of God, I jumped on the line. I asked Christ to save me 41 years ago. And the best way I can describe this is sin management. And I'm worn out. And, I mean, when I see things in John, like, First John, where, you know, he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. In Romans 6, you know, don't you know that, how can you sin, continue in sin? Don't you know you've been crucified with Christ? And all I can do is try and manage sin.
Mm.
The new promise that I saw, I think it was in Jeremiah, where God says, the new covenant, he was going to cause me to walk in his spirit. And I have been throwing that at God lately, saying, God, you said right here, you'll cause me to walk in your spirit. I don't have to fight and fight and fight and fight and try not to sin. I have no testimony. Why would I share Christ with anybody?
So Bob, let me ask you this, and thank you for being so candid and raw and open. And obviously, it's just bursting out of your heart, not just for you, but you're speaking for others as well who've had the same struggle. I want to try to ask some quick questions and then do my best to give you some hope, all right? But I'm looking at the clock and want to make sure I can do this. So I know you can answer at length, but just first, in brief, do you see any evidence of change in your life since you asked the Lord into your heart?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And do you feel like you have a relationship with God?
I talk to him an awful lot. I don't hear him an awful lot.
Do you feel that he's hearing you when you're talking to him?
In my heart of hearts, I believe he does.
Okay.
But a lot of negative, desperate thoughts tell me that I'm your Esau. You gave up your birthright.
Right.
You're Hebrews 5. You're Hebrews 10. How, you know, if you go on sinning after coming to a knowledge of truth, there's nothing but the fiery God. You know, I'm just...
All right, so that's
there's a lot of other voices.
Right. That's terribly tormenting. Okay, so first, friends, let's pray for Bob. Everyone listening, let's ask God to really work in his life in a deeper way. Let me lay things out as plainly and honestly as I can, all right? And do you do much reading, Bob, if I recommend a book?
I read the Bible every day for the last 10 years, every single day.
Okay. If I recommend an outside book for you to read, would you be able to get that? Or I can send it to you if your budget is tight. But otherwise, you can just go to Amazon. And I want to recommend this book. My son-in-law, Ryan, wrote it. It's Ryan Bruss, B-R-U-S-S. Ryan Bruss, B-R-U-S-S, called Living Loved. Loved. So Ryan Bruss, B-R-U-S-S, Living Loved. And it's full of scripture. And what I want to encourage you to do, so I'm going to give you the prescription first, and then I'm going to talk about this practically, is I want to encourage you to just drink in what God says about you and about his love for you, all right? Rather than putting the emphasis on I want to do better, I want to be holier, I don't want these bad thoughts in my mind, because that's almost like, I tell you, don't think about elephants for the next hour, so that's all you think about. Rather than that, just do your best to kind of drink this in. Let the love of God, the goodness of God, the character of God flood you, the grace, what Jesus has done. So regardless of how you feel or what sin you're struggling with, set your heart and mind on taking in who he is, how loving and gracious and good he is, what Jesus has done on the cross, the victory that he's wrought for us. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Paul, after writing in Romans 6 that we have died to sin, he now tells us, don't let it reign in your mortal bodies. And he tells us that you have to consider yourself dead to sin. So this is a battle. There is a renewing of the mind. Galatians 5 says you can't do the things that you want. There's a battle there. So even though we have been crucified with Christ, we must take hold of that reality and renew our hearts and minds to it. And even though, the third point, even though the new covenant has been given, we're in a transition age. We don't see it fully. We see the beginning of it. We have received forgiveness. Our hearts have changed, and yet we're still in this world. It's called already and not yet. That's the theological term, meaning...
Yeah, I've heard that, but, I mean, it just seems so unreal to me. From my own reading, and I've listened a lot to many people, but from my own reading, it seems so unreal that he would forgive you for your sin and leave you bound in it. That seems
wrong. I agree. You shouldn't be bound. I absolutely agree with that, Bob. In other words, what I'm saying is there still can be a battle, right? But we shouldn't be slaves to sin. We shouldn't be bound by sin. There is freedom in Jesus. The things that bound me in the past don't bind me any longer. But on a daily basis, I have to guard my heart, guard my thoughts, determined to be with the Lord. So I am enjoying the benefits of the new covenant, but there's a fullness that we should have. What you're saying is you don't even see the benefits of the new covenant, the promises, and that is something very real. I want to encourage you that any thought you have, your Esau, you've gone too far, those are lies from the devil. That is absolutely not the voice of God. That is absolutely not a right application of Scripture. And the Father longs to have mercy. It says in Micah 7.
How am I misreading the Jeremiah 1 about I will cause you to walk in my ways?
Right.
It sounds like something God will do in you with your, like all I would need to do is give him
go ahead. Right. So the fact is we have not seen the full realization of that. The new covenant is something for the entire nation. We see the first fruits of it. That's the already and not yet. But the fact that you want to serve God and you want to please God, where did that come from? Did that come from you or from him? The fact that you hate sin, where did that come from you or from him? There's something already at work in you. There could be some demonic powers that need to be broken. But again, let's start here. Start with getting the book, reading it, digesting it, and then let's reconnect in a month or two. How's that, Bob? I seriously mean it. Give me a progress report. You can write or you can call in and we'll talk further. Your struggle is very real and it makes perfect sense. But I do believe there is a greater place of victory and freedom that you can experience even in this world. So Bob, we'll be praying for you and I look forward to hearing from you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.